You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
We are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
Dr. Storm, we're live right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can follow along. Go to towardanarchy.com. Right up there at the top of the page is the link to the page that will take you to the Republic Broadcasting Network page. And that will have all the listening options, call-in options. You can listen over your phone. You can listen over satellite. There's so many ways that you can tune in. And there's one way that you can show your support. Just click on that button over there and support the network, because it helps support this show and it's going to help keep conversations like the one I just had with Chris coming at you, the one we're going to have next week. If you go to towardanarchy.com with Andrea Wood, doing great things to try and hold accountable some of these scumbags in our political system that have been funneling children into dangerous homes and into the arms of people who are hurting them and taking advantage of them. And she is putting a stop to that. So we'll talk to Andrea Wood next week. We'll meet the gun nut next week, and we're going to have fun with him over as long as we can, over the years. That's what I want to say, because that's what I want to make happen. And you'll help make that happen if you let the network know that you want to hear this show and you share the links, you share towardanarchy.com with people so that we can talk about Bitcoin. What is it? You know, money, currency, something else. That's what we're going to talk about here in just a minute. But I want to make sure that you have a chance to go ahead and grab those links, pull them up. You can follow along. There's some stories down there, some articles that I wrote that you could read and you kind of get a picture into my mind. Not that you can't get enough of one just sitting here listening to me, but I know some people absorb things a little bit differently. It is the long form of the long form. I have my long form of voice right here, but that, I mean, I'm, you know, I write 8 minutes, sort of 2,000 word diatribes on our medical technocratic medical tyranny is what I called it in there, but in relation to our vaccination laws and things that have been changing, and it's all part and parcel of the conversation that Chris and I just had, and that's the government control, and that's what the whole idea of Toward Anarchy is about. It's about getting away from this authoritarian idea of control that has been foisted upon us by history, that has been foisted upon us by these individuals who would control other people, whether they do it out of so-called altruism or if they're doing it because they actually are, which most of them, they get off on controlling people and they get off on telling other people what to do. Go to towardanarchy.com. Click on Sunday, May 26th on Toward Anarchy. Right there, it'll take you to the page. It's got a couple of links. Bitcoin is what we're going to talk about. You visit the Sovereign in the City link and catch up on what Danny Panzella is talking about. We'll have him in a couple of weeks. And we're always talking about the shape of things to come. I just had to write that because I love that phrase, the shape of things to come. Was it a George Orwell movie? It's something similar titled to that, right? Assange to face espionage charges, 175 years. I think that's what I added up. If you click on that link, you read the story from Zero Hedge. This came out this week, that, and then we knew it would. We knew that the Department of Justice would go ahead and try to recharge him. Some other, I don't remember the details of it. But you know, sort of 2 weeks ago or whatever, right after this happened, some things were dismissed or ignored or replaced or fought off, and they knew that immediately they would come back with new charges. And Tyler Durden of Zero Hedge there has just a little bit of a write-up on it, and of course he's got some links to information, and of course the entire. Geez, how many pages is it? It's a long one. 37 pages of the entire district court's documents on the charges that they're filing against, the grand jury is filing against Julian Assange. And I'm not going to go through them. That stuff is sort of slow and boring, but they're getting him on all sorts of things. But ultimately, what they're doing is they're destroying free speech, and they are clamping down, and they're making one of these final grasps to really gain control and to solidify the idea that's represented. If you go back to my page, towardanarchy.com, and you're on the Sunday, May 26th link that's right up there at the top. You scroll down to the bottom and look at this garbage. Look, all right, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that these magic documents provide any real security for us as Americans, but the heart of them is there. The ideas that they represent are good ideas. They're valuable ideas. They're ideas rooted in thousands of years of the individual and understanding that we as people, we're the ones that control ourselves. We control our bodies. We control our minds. We control our lives. We control our destinies. That government is supposed to be a tool of the people to help organize, to help keep things a little bit sane in an otherwise normally chaotic world. And you would do so by one of the choice words that I like to come back to, which is promote. They were to promote the general welfare. They were not to take our money and create a welfare state to support everybody else who couldn't, wouldn't, otherwise shouldn't be able to hack it with the rest of us out here who are willing to put in an honest day's work. This is what I'm getting at when you look at this image here, and it makes me sick that they mess with the words like this, because of the heart of these ideas is what you're supposed to embrace. The idea that government is second to the people, and that even the people are second to the individual in that sense. Because when these documents were created, the word state was literally the people. It meant the people. If you look it up in Black's Law, it says the state is the people. And the people are individuals. They're not persons. Persons are corporate constructs. Citizens are corporate state constructs. Words that we'll talk about over and over again, I promise you, because they're important. They make a difference. And if you change your language and you change your message that you're trying to get to people, you're going to have a better success rate in convincing people that these things are a reality and that they need to pay attention to them, that there might be something more to them than just an idea that we should grasp onto in the past. There's something that we should hold on to now and take with us into the future. That image there of the Bill of Rights, that says Bill of Rights on it, but that should be in quotes. That's not the Bill of Rights. That's nothing like the Bill of Rights. U.S. citizens have freedom of religion, speech, press, assembly, and petition. And I'm not going to – I don't want to sit here and read the whole thing to you, but come on. We all know the Bill of Rights, right? Some of us do. You know, they don't teach this stuff in school anymore at all. They really don't. There's no they're not talking about this stuff in the schools anymore, and it's slipping away. It's fading away to the past. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or the press, or the right of the people to peaceably to assemble, to petition the government for a redress of grievances. The people. And you got this disgusting, it just makes me sick as a person who believes that words have meaning, but it also makes me sick as somebody who wants to believe in the idea of America and the idea that you can create a system that people can participate in of their own free will that helps protect property and helps protect rights. But not when you're teaching this kind of garbage in the schools. U.S. citizens have freedom of religion, speech, press, assembly, and petition. All of that sounds great. It would be great, except for the fact that they use U.S. citizens. U.S. citizens are a construct of the state. Citizen is a construct of the state. In fact, Chris shared with me a definition. He shared with me a couple of images, too. He shared with me a definition of citizen. It's one who owes allegiance to the city some benefit or immunity. Ultimately, it's an obligation to the state. And the idea of liberty, this is another one of these words that you have to know the difference of. You have to know the difference between freedom and liberty. Freedom is a natural state. We're all born into it. Liberty is the freedom from obligation to the state or to some authority. And all people are at liberty unless and until a person, that's another conversation, comes to you and claims real physical damages and can prove them. That's what the protection of the rights and the protection of the property is about. It's about real people coming forward to a third party like the government, a disinterested third party. It's no longer disinterested, but it's supposed to be, particularly in the legal sense. It's supposed to be a disinterested third party solving disputes between real people. And as much as I'm going to hate to say it and leave it at this because I want to move on, corporations could be people too. It's a longer conversation, so we'll have it in another time. But you can look at that just disgusting display. U.S. citizens have the right to keep and bear arms or own guns. And that's one where the right wing is going to get upset a little bit about, because they want to believe that their right is an American right. It's not. It's a people's right. And no matter what you think about that, you have to believe it's a people's right, because if it's not a people's right, it's a right that's been granted to citizens, that's been granted to people who are constructs of the state, who owe the state allegiance, according to that particular definition of the word. And that's what the founders understood the word to mean. They understood that a citizen is someone who it's just a construct of the state. I really prefer that particular word. It's kind of funny, he shared an image with me. It shows a Tea Party guy in a suit holding a sign that says, "Leave us alone." And then there's another sort of bearded, leather jacket wearing guy. It looks like me, kind of, except I don't have a beard too often. "Take care of us all," that one says, Occupy Wall Street. He's an Occupy Wall Street guy. I was down on the ground for Occupy Wall Street. And we actually, within the first couple of weeks, we had thousands of people marching on the banks. I have pictures of it. We had them marching on the banks. We had them directed away from this idea of the state owed us something, or that we were fighting against the police, or this, we had them directing their arguments and their anger in the right direction. But then it was infiltrated pretty quickly by the black bloc, which is the where most people associate this word anarchy comes from, toward anarchy, or is what it's associated with these days, which is these sort of mask wearing scumbags that like to destroy personal property and start fights that they don't actually stick around and finish. So not to be confused with that at all, but I want to get to Bitcoin, and I want to talk about this, and I'm hoping we picked up some more people, because I wanted a bunch of people to hear this, because there's an argument all over about what Bitcoin is and what it isn't. And I'm not going to sit here and try to convince you that I'm any sort of monetary genius in investing or anything like that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about words. I'm talking about word meanings. And I'm talking about actual function and use of these currencies, these monies, these things that we're talking about. And I'll share an article with you next week If you go to towardanarchy.com, right on the front page there, in the square box, is a couple of articles that I wrote here over the past few weeks that you could check out. But I'll share an article there next week. I got to get it done. I wanted to do it this week, but it was just one more thing. It wasn't finished. I didn't think it was good enough, so I didn't want to share it yet. But it's about money. And one of the reasons that I stopped and decided that I'm going to do it is because I'm going to add something in here about Bitcoin, and that's why I decided to talk about it today. Because I want to put Bitcoin, excuse me, in its place for people, because there's an argument about what it is. And so let's discuss, what is money? What is currency? What is Bitcoin? How does it actually play into things? We'll talk about them in that order. Let's talk about money. To begin with, it's not evil. Money is not evil. Let's get this straight. Money is a tool. Money, currency, Bitcoin, broken G.I. Joes that I can repair, are all things that can be converted into something else. They have some sort of value placed on them one way or another, either an intrinsic value or a manufactured value like the Federal Reserve Note and most fiat, a collectible value, and I'm highlighting certain words there, collectible. And when I was talking about the G, it's funny because I just bought the G.I. Joes and it's a bag of gold. That's what I brought the wife. I brought it home to the wife and I told her, because I have 60 plus G.I. Joe figures in here that are in beautiful, nearly perfect condition, except for the fact that the rubber that holds their bodies together is destroyed. And I have right here this little bag right here that I've had for years. I bought hundreds of them years ago, and I've used hundreds of them, but I still have hundreds of them left. And there's these great little rubber O-rings that go right inside the G.I. Joe, and I'm going to fix them all here up this week, and I'm going to turn them into Federal Reserve notes, Bitcoin, digital collectibles. I'm going to turn them into something that I can exchange, some of it for real wealth, some of it for money that I'll use to exchange with other things, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. Money is what money does. That's a quote from an economics book that was written in the mid-90s when I first started trying to work my own mind around. You do these exercises like that. I do them. I don't know if you do them. I hope you do. I do these exercises to make sure that I understand what it is that I'm talking about. I always look at, if you were to look at my phone right now, I always look up words, and you'd be surprised at the words I look at. Let's see if I can find one. I don't even know if it does it. I'm always looking up words, though, to see if I know the meaning of it, if I'm using it right. I'm always doing it. What's it? To a T. I looked up the phrase to a T the other day just to make sure that I know what it means, but I wanted to make sure that it's within the context that I'm using. And they did dawdling. I looked up the word dawdling the other day. If it's not specific to the situation, if the word doesn't fit, don't use it. Find another word. You know, look for it. Find a different word. So money is what it does. I didn't read that economics book. I grabbed that economic book off the shelf because it was a newly written economics book. And I opened it up and I looked up the definition of money because I wanted to write about money. I wanted to talk about money. I wanted to exercise my own understanding of money and what it really means. And it's true, because what they say is that money is what money does. It's defined by its use and its behavior. They go on to define it as that it should meet three requirements, and these are the three basic requirements. And it's the reason that I picked this particular definition at the time, is because this were the three things that I understood that money is. We're talking about money, okay? Money is a medium of exchange, a measure of value, and a store of value. Now, currency, on the other hand, is not a store of value. It's understood that it's not a store of value, and that's going to be the difference of them. And then your Bitcoin is something else. But to continue with money, okay, it's a medium of exchange. That's just simple. All sorts of, it's a tool. It's a technology to facilitate exchange in the absence of physical goods or desired services available right then and there. If you want to trade somebody a cow and you raise chickens, how many chickens does it take to get one cow? Well, you have to figure that out for every single thing you own chickens for versus every single thing you want to buy or trade for if you do it that way, unless you introduce a medium of exchange. Some form of common device, usually a in the case of money, it's going to have to be a real product that somebody puts labor into. Gold, silver, these are things that labor is required to take them out of the earth. It's required to produce them. Salt has been used. Spices, minerals, all these different things have been used as a medium of exchange, some form of currency or money. Money in the fact that they still have a store of value. If you take salt, barring it getting wet and not actually surviving, you can put it on a shelf and take it off the shelf and it will still be worth whatever salt is worth at the time. So it continues to maintain that store of value. You can store it away and it has value later. Money is a measure of value. I mentioned it already a little bit, and that's how you compare the prices of one thing and any given thing to another. So you don't have to know how many chickens it takes to trade directly for a cow. If you don't have all those chickens that the guy wants for the cow, he might take currency that he can go and buy some chickens, or he might do something else, another conversation. He might give you credit. He might say, all right, well, here's the cow. I want the chickens that you have now plus five more chickens later, whereas you might normally have only paid him three chickens. That's interest. That is a return for a delayed return. That's your return for delaying your return on your investment, for giving him the cow right there. You get a little bit more for having to wait for your return on that investment. Nothing wrong with it when it's open in a free market and an exchange of ideas. That's money. Money meets all three of those things. It's a medium of exchange. It's a measure of value. It's a store of value. When you put it away, because it's a commodity, in most cases, and that's really what we're talking about here, something physical of the earth that has an intrinsic value, something that can be used for something other than wiping your butt, like currency can. That's about all the dollar can be used for, and it's about all it's worth. In fact, I think toilet paper is probably more value, realistically more valuable than the Federal Reserve note at this point. Even though you still have to price everything in Federal Reserve notes and buy in Federal Reserve notes. But that's the difference between a currency or what's commonly known as a fiat money. It's money that doesn't have that intrinsic value. It's not a store of value. If you put the Federal Reserve note away, and you cannot argue this, there's no argument for this. If you put the Federal Reserve note away today, store it away, not invest it. Investing is completely different. If you store it away and pull it out a year from now, it's going to be worth less than when you put it in there. That's the dollar. That is fiat. That is currency. It doesn't have that store of value. And so we get lastly to Bitcoin. What is Bitcoin? Bitcoin is digital currency. But Bitcoin doesn't have quite that same exchangeability of a currency. The whole point of taking and creating a currency, I'm not talking about central control. I'm not going to argue those things. I'm talking free market. Just imagine free market, all right? The point of a currency is that it's accepted, generally accepted amongst the people that are trading, and that it facilitates that exchange. So it makes it nice and easy. Digital currency is almost impossible to exchange right now. Okay, digital currency is just like this bag of G.I. Joes. And this is where people are going to just lose their minds, the people that don't really understand money and understand exchange. Look, I have collected tens of thousands of things in my life. I owned 12,000 comic books in my lifetime. I have collected thousands of toys. If you were in here in my home studio right now, you would see I have 600, maybe more, different toys and action figures on my wall. I've collected baseball cards. I've collected. I know what a collectible is. I know what the collectible market is. I know how items that are collectible behave. Bitcoin is a digital collectible. I have digital collectibles. It's on my phone. I'm pulling the app up right now. No, I'm not telling any of you what it is, because what happens is you guys jump in, you speculate, and you screw up my market. I'm letting this thing ride for a while. I've invested $2 in digital collectibles, digital currency. Did you hear the little money thing? That's the sound of me raking up money. Let's see. My value has gone up $6 since the last time I logged in. I'm sorry, 60 cents since the last time I logged in to check it out. That's my digital collection. My digital collection is worth $35,000 on a $2 investment. Sounds like Bitcoin, doesn't it? It's a digital collectible that what happens is you have to take it and you have to put some work into it, like I might have to put into these G.I. Joes to put them back together. I'm going to have to open them up. I'm going to have to replace the rubber in them. And I'm going to have to list them on eBay. I'm going to have to list them across Facebook and the marketplace, and probably try to hawk some of them to you guys. Vintage, right back with the original 80s, straight arm. This is one of those. If you're for loose figures, it's a holy grail of loose figures. It's not like holy grail as in like package figures, but it's holy grail loose figures. They're in such good condition. But that's what Bitcoin is. Let's be clear. Bitcoin is a collectible that to use it to buy something, in most cases, you're going to have to exchange it for something else, just like I will these G.I. Joes. It's possible that I'm going to find somebody else that collects G.I. Joes, that collects Bitcoins, and I can exchange something with him that he owns. He'll sell me, and he'll take Bitcoins for it. But the reality is, most of the things that I need to buy in the world, I can't trade Bitcoins for, and I can't trade G.I. Joes for. You have to convert them into something else. And the value is set by the purchases and the availability of them in the marketplace. That is collectibles. That is a digital collectible. That's not to say that it's not valuable. That's not to say that it's a scam. That's not to say that it can't be used to purchase stuff. If you look at towardanarchy.com, you click on today's date, there's a link there, right there, that shows you that first purchase that was made, $2 million, or $200 million, is that what they claim in there? Is what the value of that Bitcoin is worth today that bought that pizza. And you know what that guy had to do? He had to do the same thing you'll have to do today, most likely, to get a pizza. He had to sell it to, he had to give it to somebody else that would take their Federal Reserve notes that are accepted, the currency that's accepted widely across the world, and exchange that for the pizza that he got delivered to his house. He was not able to take the Bitcoin. And it will always be that way with Bitcoin. If you exchange with other people who collect Bitcoins and use them, regardless of what they use them for, whether they're sitting on them, sleeping under the mattress, or whatever it is, whether they're buying G.I. Joes and exchanging G.I. Joes for them, it still has to be exchanged. It's not a direct currency at this point. It mimics a currency in that it is possible to use it for exchange. And it's definitely not money because it's not backed by anything. It isn't anything. It's numbers in a computer. It's not the separation from the Federal Reserve note and the central banking that everybody is looking for. It's just another market collectible player. That's it. Don't get your hopes up. That's not to say that the next generation of something digital like that doesn't come along, because what's going to happen is that as the digital currency becomes viable and people are willing to accept it more often, what's going to happen is people like yourself, people like me who understand what money is and that store of value, they're going to base the creation of the digital currency on real world labor. It will happen. Not on computer labor, not on a machine that generates the labor for you necessarily. Like, coming. It's not there yet. Bitcoin is a collectible. Sorry to burst your bubble, kids. We'll be back on Toward Anarchy.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Invest. I'm not trying to tell you that you should invest. I'm just telling you that this is the facts about Bitcoin. because of where it actually stands in the marketplace as far as usability and its behavior within the marketplace. I just explained to you that basic economics tells you that money is described by its function. Well, I'm telling you that Bitcoin is described by its function as well, and its function is a digital collectible. I wasn't kidding when I said that I have an app. I pulled it up on my phone. It's literally the only app that I've ever kept on my phone, other than sort of, you know, like email or Microsoft Word or Access or Excel or something like that that I'm actually productive with. I'm productive with this as well, except for, again, digital collectible. I have to take my digital collectible and sell it to somebody else who wants my digital collectible and get them to give me something in exchange for it. And that's exactly what Bitcoin is. And I'm not telling you this because I think that there's anything fundamentally wrong with anything other than the people arguing about it when it's so very clear, it's so well defined in its words and in its actions what these things are. People confound money. That's a quote. Who is it that I can't think of who it is. Ardent lament. The people lament money. Gosh, I can't think of it. It's one of those things that went pew, right off the top of my head, and it won't come to me, and it's frustrating me because I want to tell you what it was. I wanted to tell you what the quote was, but I'll have it in my article next week. That's what I'll do. I'll throw it in this article, towardanarchy.com. If you scroll down there in the box, that's where you'll find some articles from me, and I have some other writers. I've always done that in the past as well. I have people that will write about prepping. I have archives of all the stuff that's been done in the past as well. All this will be added to the website over time. And you got to help me make it all worthwhile. And it will be worthwhile because this is what we're talking about here, solutions every single day. I haven't used the word a lot, but that's the goal of everything that we're talking about, is to find real-world solutions, real-world definitions, real-world ways to move toward anarchy, away from this centralized control, this notion that there is such a thing as authority, that the authority is real. All you have to do is realize there is no government. You know, from the Matrix, the kid with the spoon is telling Neo how to bend the spoon. You just have to realize there is no spoon. Well, there is no authority. There is no government. The natural state of man is freedom, and he only submits to authority out of indoctrination or out of respect or out of ignorance or out of his own. This is mostly the case. Most aware people, not talking about being awake or woke, just aware people, they do it so the government doesn't kill them. So it doesn't march tanks and jackbooted thugs down the street with machine guns that you can't have, because they said so, even though it's the people's right to be able to have them, and the idea of it was framed in the context of keeping government from marching jackbooted thugs and tanks down your street with machine guns and you not be able to defend yourself. Why does anybody, 200 plus years later, still have to be tried to explain this to people? We know why. Because of the garbage that... Click on the dates at towardanarchy.com. Click on that date and scroll down and look at this piece of trash that's called the Bill of Rights. And it's not our Bill of Rights. It's the state. It's some statist's notion of what the Bill of Rights means. And it's completely wrong. It uses the word citizen. Citizens are a construct of the state. They don't belong in definitions of what the people retain as people in the face of government by submitting to government jurisdiction over who has those rights. It doesn't make any sense. It's so frustrating. It's as frustrating as the people who say, I'd rather have my kid get autism than the measles. It just doesn't make any sense at all on any kind of level. My digital collection went up 10 more cents while I was sitting here. I'm holding it in my hand. I I have my digital collection comprises more than 16,000, almost 17,000 pieces. I am one of the top digital collectors in the world. My collection is well on its way to being worth $40,000. But again, I have to sell it to somebody. I have to take, somebody has to want that. They have to want what's there for me to be able to exchange it for something. The Bitcoin, you click on that link that's right there. You see where it's a $200 million pizza? Click on that link and read that story, and it tells you exactly what I was just telling you, that to make that purchase, even today, to make that purchase, you're going to have to exchange the Bitcoins that you have with another Bitcoin collector, period. That's it. Okay, you call them investor. Fine. Whatever. It is an investment. Don't kid yourself. I'm not surrounded by thousands of toys and having owned 12,000 comic books because I thought that I really, really liked them. I also invested in them. I really like them. I enjoy them. They're fun to look at. They're neat to read. But they're also an investment there, and I buy them as cheap as I possibly can, and I sell them regularly as well to get to put different ones up there, and I change my collection around all the time. And it's the same with my digital collection. It's the same with the digital collectors of Bitcoin and all the different digital coins that are out there. Absolutely 100%, because they're all doing the same thing. They're all, well, let's try this one over here. We'll play around with this. We'll collect this one for a little while and see if we can make a little bit of money on it. Let's collect a bag of G.I. Joes and see if we can make some money on those. It's all the same thing, and it's not in any way to suggest that there isn't value in it, that it can't be used as a currency, that it's not a good thing. It's just an investment, though, and don't kid yourself that it's not. And it's the only reason that I've never done it. I tried years ago when it first came out to do a little bit of mining and stuff, but it was so early back then that you had to create a lot of the tools. A lot of it was sort of base code. It wasn't made for Windows yet. And it's all sorts of things that you had to work your way around to create it. And while I love and am capable of doing all of those things, I don't want to have to do every single little thing. I don't want to have to do it all. I want to jump in at some point and be able to produce without having to reinvent the wheel. That happens with a lot of the stuff that I do. I don't want to reinvent the wheel. I do it with my code. I recycle my code. If you go to towardanarchy.com, you'll see a website that's up there. Here's a perfect example. Right at the top of the page at towardanarchy.com, those little speakers that you see there, that image is an image that I created in 1995. I created that image in 1995. I've had it on my computer. I've had it in my files since 1995. I needed a speaker one day because you could click on my air check. I created a website so you could click on my air check and listen to my air check and decide if you wanted to hire me for your top 50 radio station. And some people did, and I did, and I worked at top 50 radio stations for a while. But I created that image in 1995, and I recycled it. It's actually a different color now. It actually looks a lot better than the original image because I tweaked it a little bit last night. But that core image right there is the exact same image that I made and recycled and used and brought back for this. And the code underneath what's there is all code that I've used before to present this stuff. It's another example of my entire life and the way that I look at things. I don't throw things away if they could potentially be useful. I don't throw the baby out with the bathwater when we're talking about the ideas of trying to get into trying to find this common ground that we can all climb towards the ladder toward anarchy, away from this authoritarian rule. Use every single tool within your arsenal to be able to get away from it, and that includes using it itself within reason. Anytime you can use it where doing so doesn't force somebody else to participate in your view of the world, that's the conversation about voting and whether or not it should be done, when it should be done. I'll have Sheldon Richmond on the show. I mentioned him last week. He wrote a book. I wrote it at the top of my head. Vote or Die, maybe? off the top of my head. I've read a number of his books. He's one of the few people that I've actually read any of his stuff, but it was current at the time that it was coming up. He was writing them at the time, and they were short little books, and that's what I like. I like just a hint at the idea. Oh, God, please, not at all. Just a hint at the idea, just to get my brain thinking so that I can move along. Why would you even say that? Why would that even come up? Just because I'm talking, I'm excited, and I like to participate in my many Christmas. I'm trying to tell you that it's okay to use all the tools in your arsenal to work towards what we're talking about, toward that anarchy, and using the system in such a way that it doesn't force other people to be beholden to your view of the world. And that's a longer conversation that we're going to have one of these days for sure. I don't know who I want to have it with, but maybe Sheldon Richmond. I bring him in. He wrote a great book on it. And I'll share it with you. I just wasn't prepared that as far as to even think about mentioning that particular book, but I'll make a point to share a link with you or something to a place where you can buy it or maybe read a splash of it or something. I'm sure one of the sites, Mises or somebody like that, has got some of his works up there and pieces of it. But it was just a idea of, okay, this is what voting is, and was short little tract on it that gives your mind a place to think about the different types of voting and the value of your vote. Of course, there's no value of voting for a president, and voting for any ruler or idea is ridiculous because that is subjecting other people to your view, their view. But there's, you know, there's the difference between maybe having to I certainly couldn't argue with somebody who I get this a lot when we have these conversations, whether to vote or not. I get people who say, well, I vote. What I do is I vote against all judges and I vote no on everything. I get that. That makes sense. And I can't really fault people for doing that or say that they're necessarily forcing their will on somebody. It is the epitome of the defensive vote. Those things are already going to be voted on. You're literally just saying, no, I don't want government. I don't want the voters, I don't want them to have any more power. That's what that no vote would be. We'll have to have that conversation many, many, many more times and further down the road. Go to towardanarchy.com. You can listen to the show. You can jump on Facebook. You can jump in the chat room. I haven't looked in there. I know it was pretty active. I haven't looked in there in a while, but there's people chatting and having little conversations about the things that I'm talking about. And that's cool, because that's exactly what I want you to do. I want you to converse about these things, and I don't necessarily want to hear what you have to say about it. That's why I do it this way, so I don't have to. Danny Panzello is going to be on the show this hour, but just before the show started, we decided that it just wasn't going to work. I didn't want to put him in a situation where he had to rush, where he had to do things that were going to make an incomplete presentation of the thing that he's been working on for a while, Sovereign in the City. And that's something that I want to share. I'm a guy that likes society. I like life like it is. It's great. I like being able to jump on the internet and search out anything I want to find, or watch just about anything I want to watch, or pull up my Xbox and play a video game or something. And I like having that in the palm of my hands. I like technology, and I don't like people as a whole. I don't like sheep, but I like individuals. I like to get to know people, and you can do that. Yeah. You could do that through all these different things and still maintain the individual. And Danny talks about how to do that, and we'll have him on the show in a couple of weeks. Next week, really cool show, I think, we're going to have with Andrea Wood here. She talks about advocacy for people that don't have a voice, people that are abused and used within the court system, particularly children and the families of children, and she's advocating for them in California. And she actually was so eager to do it. She's like, we could do it this weekend, but I'd like some more time. And I thought, well, that's great because it sounds like they have something big. They filed a big court case in California. And so she'll be telling us about that and advocacy and maybe things that you can do to help stop the trafficking of children and the abuse of children through the court system and the abuse of parents through the court system. It's really, really kind of one of those really scary things. We could talk to Mark for a minute, put him on. Mark is in Philly and he wants to talk about my website for a second. Tell me about the website, Mark.
My first time calling, my first time hearing you, and I understand you're from Kansas. I'm originally from Southern Missouri. So my take on anarchy is that it's, you know, toward anarchy. Anarchy to me equates to freedom. Is that what it is, really?
Absolutely. Freedom? Yeah.
Okay. Now, so I said, wow, okay. I clicked on your link, and then it took me over to hvy.com. And
oh,
then I'm reading
the article. Nice.
Yeah, I'm reading the article. So I thought, wow, okay. So then I, you know, when I go to a new site that I haven't heard of, I go, what is HVY? So I click on it.
Yeah.
And by the way, many of my friends tell me I should be writing.
Yeah.
So
we all should be. We should all be writing.
Yeah. Okay. So here we go. My first challenge, and I'm not calling you to challenge. I don't always call it a challenge, but. Why should you join HVY? So I said, oh, that's cool. And I'm reading down, and what are the requirements? What are the requirements? Yeah. You must possess a degree in journalism.
I don't have one.
Hello. That's not anarchy. That's
right.
Called rules and regulations and credentialism and all that.
Wait a minute now. Anarchy is no rulers. It's not no rules. We're not going to go down that road. I won't even let you take us down that road because private property, which HBY is, no matter what you think about the digital property, it's still their digital property. And you want to come play in their sandbox, you follow their rules. It's not about anarchy. That's about participating voluntarily.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege.
I understand, but when you understand my point.
I do, and I'm not trying to get on you, but we'll keep talking.
I mean, do you have to have a journalism degree in order to be a good writer?
You don't, and I'll talk about that.
No, absolutely, you do not. And there are people in history who have become exemplary writers who didn't have any degree at all.
We're not on the air right now, right? We went to commercial, right? Okay, I heard it pop up in the background, so I didn't know if when I was ranting that it just kept. I didn't know if I'd missed the break or not. No, okay, so no, you're absolutely right, but okay, let's not talk about that because here's the reason we're not going to talk about that. That's not my sandbox. It's just a place where I went and they said, yeah, absolutely. You've done some writing. We like what you wrote. Go ahead and use our platform, and that's all I'm doing. And I'm agreeing, you know, voluntarily to follow along with those rules. They don't want cussing in the piece. Well, I don't want cussing on my show because, you know, I'm trying to present a particular view, and I want it to be reachable by everybody. I want somebody to know that, you know, God forbid, use the word safe space, but in that sense, it's safe to come here and know that. While we're going to be talking about adult things, we're not going to be using adult language and talking in such a way that children have to worry about being offended or anything. So I don't want to talk about the details of somebody's private property because I said it at the beginning of the show. If you got a problem with private property, you got a problem with me. Private property is everything that this nation and everything that the individual is about, and it is protecting that the private property.
This has nothing to do with private property in my mind. What it has to do
with property. Excuse me. Put him on hold. This is my show. Don't excuse me. I'll excuse you. I'm in the middle of saying something. Let's get something straight. I don't want to argue with you about this. I'm telling you the facts. This is what it is. Okay? This is what it is. I am not here to argue about whether or not people have the right to set rules on their private property. That's not what this is about. Private property is private property, and it includes the digital realm. That's their website. They set up their rules. I'm willing to follow those rules. I'm going to produce the work, and I'm going to put it up there as long as they'll continue to let me do it. That's not anarchy. That's got nothing to do with not being ruled. Anarchy is about people who are tired of being told by other people how we get to live our lives, whether or not we get to go on to a website like HVY and put our content up there. You don't get to tell me whether or not I can do that. You're not my ruler. You get to set up rules in your space, in your place, but that's not your place, and this isn't your place. So don't excuse me. If you want to come back on the show and you want to talk about this, then we'll talk about it. But don't argue with me, because I win the argument because I hang up on you. All right? Okay, good. Let's get it clear. That's absolutely the case. I came to this forum because I'm trying to teach. And if you want to learn, come along and learn. But don't sit here and try to teach my class for me. I'm not going to let you do it, especially when you're wrong. Especially when you're wrong. That's not going to happen up in here. Get it straight right now. I'm not going to fight with you in the chat rooms. I'm not going to fight with you on air. It's my way or the highway. It's my show. It's Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm, not Toward Anarchy with Bob from Pennsylvania or anybody else. All right? So don't do it to me. I don't want to do it. If you want to participate in the show, I love to have you. I want you there. I want the counter ideas, but I don't want to argue. And once I've made it real clear what my position is, once I've defined the word for you and you continue to argue the definition of the word with me, we're done. You're out. We won't play that game. We're going to argue the words up front. We're going to agree on them. We're going to move along into the rest of the discussion. If you want to come back to try to re-argue the word, then we've failed in the previous however long it took to get back to that point that you just set it back to the beginning. And ignore me and try to tell me that I need to stop and listen when you're just saying the wrong thing. I'm not going to let it happen. So I'm done. I'm sorry. I'm on the rant. It had to get out there, though, because it was going to happen eventually that somebody's going to come up and argue. And, of course, the first thing they're going to argue about is anarchy and private property. What was the first thing I said at the beginning of the show, talking about Toward Anarchy and about it being not about overturning cop cars and the stuff that the Black Bloc is a party to, and the sort of leftist socialist movement that I'm sure a lot of these people that will listen will try to accuse me of because I use the word anarchy, but it's not true, and it'll be proven every single day in my words and the fact that I stand up for private property. If you got a problem with private property, get off it. Get off the private property. Then there's no more problem. And don't, yeah. So anyway, towardanarchy.com, that's the place to be. Click on the date there. It says Sunday, May 26th on Toward Anarchy. We've been talking about Bitcoin. We're going to talk about Sovereign in the City. I really love this idea. We'll have Danny in here to talk about it. Danny's an activist and an anarchist. He has been for a long time. He's been involved in this stuff for years. I met him, gosh, must be almost a decade, not quite a decade ago now. So I know he's been running around doing this thing for a while because I've been doing it for a while. You got to read that article on Zero Hedge about Assange. This thing's scary, man, because he's acted as a press agent. And the idea that the Fourth Estate, is that what it is? that Edward R. Murrow claimed to being the watchdog of the citizens over the state, in so many words. I don't think that's the way he put it. That's the way I would like it to be. That's the way that I would put it. It's not a reality, especially in the face of something like Assange facing 175 years. It's Toward Anarchy right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be right back. Oh, wow. I didn't realize. And sometimes it just gets ahead of me, huh? All right, man. Well, thank you so much for taking care of everything over there.
corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.